Okay, Tom, how are you?
Great, but just been enjoying. Listen, I'd be content to do that for the rest of the evening.
Oh, no, we need your wisdom and expertise as well. All right, so you know tonight we're talking to business owners, faith-based business owners, about ego, emotion, expectation, and communications. Now, I know you're ready to go, Tom, so I'm just going to turn it over to you and let you do your thing.
Billy, I appreciate it. For the last 13 years, I've had the wonderful opportunity of working within the insurance industry. Our company has produced the first talent management system for the insurance industry. So working with people is something I've done for all of my career, and it's something I'm very passionate about. And there's some things I've learned through the years that I really appreciate Billy giving the opportunity to share, because a couple of things I'd like to say are the underpinning, they're the foundation of everything that I've done over the last 30 to 40 years. I started out as a young man in retail, which retail is a wonderful place to learn about people, and got my first management position at 19 years old. I was general manager of Bostonian Shoe Company when I was 20 years old. And Billy, you were talking about good ego and bad ego, and I was 100% bad ego. I was so convinced I knew all the answers in life as a 20-year-old that I didn't realize the truth was I didn't even know what the questions were. And it took me the remainder of the 40 years to figure out how little I really know. But at that time, I knew everything. I could go into any retail location that this company was with. I could turn their business around in within 30 to 60 days. About 20% increase over what they were doing, no problem. The problem was that bad ego, the real tragedy of it, if anybody's caught up in the same thing that I was in bad ego, the people that really suffered from my bad ego were my employees. Because instead of growing them and seeing them become everything that God had for them, the only person that was succeeding in that situation was me. And I could go into a location and I'd stay there maybe for a year and business would be up, everything would be great, but as soon as I would leave to go somewhere else to put that fire out, that first location would go almost as low as it was when I first came into it, because I had never really built people. It was all about me and my career. And that took a lot of breaking in my life to get beyond that, because I thought that was a good ego. I thought that was a great thing to be so convinced and make me successful that really is the people around me that God was really wanting to be successful. In many ways, I actually hurt people that God put in my path to bless. I actually hurt them because the focus was on me and what I could do and the benefits to me. And later, God really began to show me one particular incident that I look on as kind of a turning point in my life. And somewhere around 1976, as a retail shoe store, Valley View Mall had just opened in Dallas. And the company I worked for had three different locations in Dallas, and all the managers had come together to hire one person. Her name was Susan, and she was going to float among the three locations. Well, I wasn't that crazy about her, and I said I really didn't think that we should hire, but the other two said yes, so I had about a third of this person's time. And every time Susan came to work in my store, she failed miserably. Everything she did, it was like she could do absolutely nothing right, which only fulfilled my belief that she was not a good hire. So I'd talk with some of the other guys, the other store managers, and they say, oh, Susan did a great job for me. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. She does nothing right when she comes to me. You guys must either have low standards or must be looking in some other direction, because I got to tell you, this person is not a winner. And every time she came in my store, she actually became a loser. And what I found out later, as God began to prepare me for the next stage in my life, which was a wonderful time of pastoral counseling. My wife and I were able to spend about 20 years together and doing marriage seminars and had some radio programs and different things that all centered around marriage and family counseling and ministry. And what God began to show me that I had to change in me was what my expectations were doing to people. And I look back on Susan, and she was a failure in my store, not because she did not have the ability or because of anything she did. She was a failure because in my eyes, she was a failure. And I learned that people generally become who we expect them to become. And in psychology, I learned that it's called the self-fulfilling prophecy. In Scripture, I learned that as seek and ye shall find. Now, Jesus was teaching on marriage when he said, ask and it's going to be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door is going to be open. But I find that that's very much true in life also, that what we look for in life is what I find all the time. And what I find all the time is a really good example of what I'm looking for. So if I want to find out what I'm looking for in life, check out what I'm finding in life, and that's going to tell me what I'm looking for. And I thought back to Susan. I thought, you know, all I found in her was failure, lack of commitment. She wasn't good at her job. She wasn't smart. And I realized the reason I found all those things is because that's exactly what I was looking for. And rather than a good ego to stand on the person that God had called me to be as a leader, I was very caught up in the bad ego of how is this going to benefit me? And I saw this person as a threat to my success. And she actually became, and I watched her, she was so frustrated. She tried to do a good job. And she had a really difficult time doing that because I was seeking things in her that were not there. But because my expectation of her was so consistent and so prevalent and powerful, she actually became the failure that I believed her to be. And one of the things I've realized as a Christian in ministry and as a business owner, we must guard and value the expectations that we have for one another. Billy talked about setting staff up to fail because they don't have enough training, that they haven't been prepared properly, and so there's not a valid basis for that expectation. When we do that with staff and we set them up to fail because we want success from them in an area we have not prepared them for, we are not the servants that God's called us to be. If we're going to be great, we've got to be a servant. Jesus teaches us that in Matthew 20:26. And it leads us to look for the things that are the failures rather than the gifts and the callings and the things that God put those people in our life for. And your expectations on others is so powerful that even though Susan tried fighting against it, she really wasn't successful. Eventually, I had to let her go out of my store. I said, look, I can't have this person in my store. She missed out. She lost in that. I lost in that because probably she could have been one of the very best employees that I had. But I did something I had no right to do, and that was to seek out the negative expectations in her, because that led her down a road that did not benefit her, me, the kingdom of God, or anyone else. And there's a couple of studies that were done but I began looking into this, again, as I prepared for the years my wife and I did the marriage ministry. And there was a school teacher back in the 50s, and they took a group of elementary school kids, put these children in their class, and they said, oh, now this group of 12 or so, these kids have tested high. They are really, really smart kids. At the end of the experiment, those children had increased 4 IQ points over the other students They were randomly selected. They weren't special. They weren't smarter. But because the teacher believed they were smarter, they increased 4 IQ points over the other kids. They took a group of hardcore unemployed men. These guys were losers off the street by any natural measurement. Put them in a welding shop, told the foreman this group tested out high aptitude. At the end of the experiment, that group of men that the foreman believed had tested out high, they had better attendance, they did a better job, they showed better leadership skills, they got along better with people, they missed work less. They did everything better than the other group. And here's what's amazing about that. When they asked the teacher and the foreman, did you see them as different? Both of them said, no, we're not aware of anything that we did differently. And the fact is, they not only did something differently, but they were looking for something in those people, and they found it when it wasn't even there, the good stuff. But it works positively, and it works negatively. As an employer, and I say this as a business owner, and I say it with all the passion, because it's, when I hear expectations, that's probably one thing that God has put on my heart more than anything else, because I used to have so many negative expectations of people, part because I didn't train them, I didn't do my job in getting them ready, and part is I just let my ego get in the way, and I compared them to me or compared them to what I thought, and I actually set them up for failure. But as a business owner, we really do not have the right to view the staff that God's put in our life. We do not have the right to see them any other way than the way God sees us. He sees us as a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many times does your staff come in and you say, man, I know what this person did yesterday, and they did this the day before, and that just becomes our expectation of them today. You know, sure enough, they live up to it. So that fulfills that belief, and then we just keep carrying it on. We owe it to our staff to look, as Brian said, do that x-ray, find out the needs in that person's life, and then you become someone that fulfills those needs and builds up that person. You're going to have an employee for life. I was talking to one of my agency owners just recently, and she said, this is one individual in my agency, I got to tell you, I don't like dealing with her. I don't think there's a chance in the world she's ever going to make it. I don't like her attitude. And she just went on about the things that she did not like. And I tried to very reverently with her because, yeah, I understand there's a dynamic here of respect that I want to have for every business owner, every agency owner I work with. I said, dear lady, I want to tell you, as a business owner, particularly as a Christian business owner, you gave up the right to have anything but an expectation that lines up with God. You put this person in my life, and I'm going to keep looking for what you see, and I'm going to keep looking there until I find what you put there, and I will not look at this person through negative expectation. And she looked at me kind of strange because nobody ever told her that before. And she said, but I'm the owner. You know, I can see everyone the way that I choose to. I said, no, you're right. You can have bad ego. You can have bad moods, because this person would put her in a bad mood because she believed that what had happened yesterday was going to carry over into today. I said, but the person that's going to suffer in this is not just you. It's her. And it's the other people it's going to influence. Because the opposite of that is also true. When you say the 4 most important words, your staff, they may not know it, they probably don't know it, but every one of your staff know this. They want to hear from you, I believe in you. Your staff need to hear that on a regular basis. And let me tell you, when they don't deserve it is when they need it the most. Because if you keep speaking that life into them and that positive expectation of doing an x-ray, seeing what the needs are, building up that person, Let me tell you, you're going to have something that's someone that's an employee that will give you energy, that put money in their pockets and your pockets. And this doesn't only work for owners, for the employees that are listening, and you come into work thinking, oh, I know what my boss did yesterday. My mood's not going to be so great. I know how it's going to be today. You don't have the right to see your boss any other way than the way God sees them. And if you will change your expectation, become a servant. To become a servant means you understand someone. And to understand someone means you have to learn to stand under them and receive from them. If I'm not willing to receive from you, I do not understand you. And if I do not understand you, I don't understand why God put you in my life. And if I don't understand why God put you in my life, I can't fulfill what he gave me. As the business owner, as whoever I am in that, I can't fulfill my purpose unless I stand under you to understand you. So expectations, absolutely the most powerful force in human interaction. They can transform your world literally overnight, depending on what you expect. Is tomorrow bleeding through to today, or is today and tomorrow and the next today a brand new day in Christ? It will change your world. And Billy, I found it'll change the world of the people around me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Tom. I know you could have gone on for another hour, but man, great words. Absolutely great words. And you know, it goes back to what you were saying about that expectation. You know, even though our expectations need some kind of historical purpose, imagine if God had no expectations for us. If God said, "You know what? You're broken, Billy. So I'm not even gonna allow you to do any of this stuff. I'm not even gonna waste my time on you because you're broken, man." If God ever took that stand, I'm done. I mean, I don't have good stuff I can stand on every day. Say, no. Believe in me. So I'm just blessed that God gives us mercy and grace. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.